welcome to our latest Farm Files episode of FP Next, powered by John Deere. I'm one of your co-hosts for this farmer and rancher-driven podcast, Sarah McNaughton-Peterson, and I'm here with Kurt Arnes.
Hi, Sarah. Yes, we're powered by John Deere, so for all of your equipment and technology needs, see your local Deere dealer. Well, Sarah, you know, as we push closer to Christmas, the weather's getting a little more wintry in our country. I'm sure it is up in North Dakota. Wondering, do you have your Christmas tree up yet?
Yeah, we actually are one of those people who have, we have our Christmas tree up before Thanksgiving most of the time, and it usually stays up a little bit past past Christmas, maybe into the new year, because it just is a lot of work to get those things up and down. But how about you, Kurt? You've gotten your Christmas tree up. And also, do you have a live one or a fake
one? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have live, because we used to raise live Christmas trees and sell them back when we were farming full time. And so, yeah, we've got a couple actually in our house, and they're both up and they're not decorated yet. So my daughter's coming home this weekend, so I'm sure that that'll all get done accordingly. They do a lot better job than I do on that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, the weather's feeling a little bit more wintry too, right?
Yeah, I know over this last weekend when we're recording this, it was like in the 50s and a lot of snow melted. Our arena got a little bit mucky and muddy. And then we're back to, I think, negative 12 today. So winter is finally hit again here in the Dakotas.
Right. Another day in the Northern Plains, right? So 50 one day and negative the next. That's kind of the way it is here too. It cooled way off and a little skiff of snow, but we've had a lot more. But I think we're going to get down to business. We have a really special guest today joining us on FP Next. We have Don Torti, who's the Farm Progress Senior Vice President of Sales and Events. Don has been a mainstay with Farm Progress through thick and thin for more than a couple of years, I think. And I've heard that he's planning to retire in 2025. So we're going to talk a little bit about that with him a little later. But right now, Don is fresh off the Organic Growers Summit that was held in early December in Monterey, California. I'm guessing California weather was pretty decent in early December. So we're really happy to have you on FP Next today, Don. Welcome.
Thanks, Sarah and Kurt. It's great to be here. I love this podcast. I love being with both of you, and thanks for the opportunity. You're wondering about weather in Monterey. Was that a setup for that? It was awesome. It is a reason to go to the Organic Grower Summit beyond all the great stuff you're going to learn there. Monterey is a beautiful town. I don't know if you two have been there, but it's one of my favorite places I've been. I mean, you can go north to Napa, you can go south to Big Sur, and there in Monterey, there's lots of things to do. But most important, this time of year, it's 65 and sunny. And hey, that's a big difference from here in the Midwest.
I know we always try to plan our trips in like February and January, at least our family does in the Dakotas. And it's like, we went to California actually in February a couple of years ago, but we were up in Sacramento and Yosemite, but I've always heard Monterey is great. And maybe we'll eventually get to go to the Organic Grower Summit. I don't know, Kurt, how is California weather sound for you in December?
Yeah, I think it would be pretty decent. I'm guessing that there's a reason why the Organic Grower Summit is held in early December in a place like California. In addition, though, as we talk about organic ag, I was just doing a little research, and from the Census of Ag in 2022, I think Monterey County, California, is one of the top organic counties in the country, from what I was reading. And, you know, it's the organic industry is $9.6 billion in 2022. So, almost 40,000 organic farms in the U.S. So certainly it's kind of a big industry. And this show, even though it's new for Farm Progress, has been going on for a while. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of the genesis of the show and kind of the growth of the industry too, and why it's kind of important for Farm Progress to be a partner in something like this?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, Monterey County, they call it the salad bowl of the U.S. I mean, and there are tons of vegetables that are grown there. Vegetables, fruits. For a kid from Iowa, it's fascinating to go out there and you see, you know, Driscoll strawberries being picked before your eyes. You know, I went and picked up some kale and some carrots that were fresh out of the field so we could have that at the Organic Grower Summit. I mean, it's fascinating. It's way different than the corn and soybeans that we're used to here in the Midwest. I think it's really an important market for Farm Progress as well. Obviously, in our books like Western Farm Press, in the South, we've written about organics. But this is really forcing us in with both feet, if you will. That's the way I look at it. And I think it is a growing market. I mean, it grew quite a bit. It stabilized for a bit, but they are anticipating great growth with that. And we talked about that here at the Organic Grower Summit. I think a real key thing will be One of the sessions talked a little bit about price parity. You know, I think there are markets where they don't mind paying a lot more for organic, but I think it's fair to say some of us, maybe here in the Midwest, will pay some more for organic, but not substantially more. And that was one of the sessions that organic growers talked about is, well, and that was a big part of the summit. Technology will help lower the price of producing organic crops. I mean, right now they are labor intensive. And if technology can help with that, that will help with price parity, and price parity will help with growth. So they really feel positive about growth in this market. And to me, it makes a lot of sense with technology.
Pretty much on point with what we were talking about with our research. I know the USDA said that sales of fresh fruits and vegetables, the top category of organically grown food since the organic industry started retailing products. And looking at those bar charts, they just keep going up and up for retail sales. It was a big focus of the summit on that fruit and vegetable market, or kind of what all crops are involved in the organic industry there?
Well, there's everything. I mean, you know, in California, we're focusing a lot more on vegetables and some fruits, but we want to expand this because, I mean, right now, the majority of people that come to OGS are from, you know, a couple hour drive or whatever. But, you know, we did have an apple producer on a panel. There's a lot of organic apple production. You look throughout the United States, and that was from Washington State, but throughout the United States, there's pockets everywhere. We had a farm manager from here in Iowa, actually, that was out there because he's managing more and more organic farms. And he thought this was really a great opportunity to learn about that. So certainly with the power of Farm Progress, all of our great media opportunities that we have that you guys work with every single day, we have that opportunity to tell that story or share the news of this great conference, but also pick this up and move it to other places. I mean, there's no reason that at Husker Harvest Days or Farm Progress Show, we wouldn't have a little bit more in organic than we have today, or pick up like our New York Farm Show. That would be a really good place because there's a big pocket of organic up in the Northeast. So it's always just been kind of talk, but owning the show now is really giving us a lot more insight. You know, we've worked more on our database, who we've identified as organic growers. And I really think it gives us a license to grow in this market, which I think is really exciting. Sarah, you talked about different topics there. You know, some of them to me are just fascinating, but technology was a leading one. And as I talked about, that is what's going to give it a lot of price parity. But some of these laser weeders that they have, you know, again, fascinating. You can go through the field and it's shooting little bolts of, you know, fire or different ways or a weed or whatever, because otherwise it takes these million plus dollar products can pay for themselves. I believe it's in 18 months or something like that, just because of the difference between doing labor or not. However, there was also these products also get replaced fairly quickly too. So maybe you pay for it in 18 months, but is there something bigger and better right behind it? Because you talk about where are new products. There are tons out in a market like that, absolute tons. And so that was a really big topic. And then you get into like regenerative. They just kept tackling, can the market grow? What are some of the challenges? What aren't? And I just think that Mike Wilson and crew did just a great job, really putting some edgy type content in this program.
You know, Don, as you were talking about, you know, maybe bringing some organic topics to some of the other more Midwestern farm shows like Husker and Farm Progress Show, it's kind of interesting because a lot of farmers in Nebraska now and across the plains have added organic, certified organic acres to their farms. And they might be raising popcorn, they might be raising, you know, soybeans, for instance, but there certainly are growing markets. And it's surprising, it might surprise a lot of our listeners that so many farmers who were conventional, you know, maybe have certified organic acres and conventional acres. So it seems like there is room for a lot of growth, not only on the farmer side, but also on the technology and ag biz side too.
I agree with that, Kurt. I think that, you know, a lot of Midwest farmers have just grown up with, you know, as pesticides came along, it was the easy button, if you will. And they work, and they work great, and they're profitable. But it's way different if you're in an organic market. I mean, how do you get there? What are you using? What are the tools? All of those type of things. And I think we touched on a lot of that. And I think something like the Organic Grower Summit would be a really good opportunity for a Midwest farmer to go out and kind of talk to some of these other farmers. How did you jump into this? What were the hurdles? What were some things that you looked at? Or maybe even more appropriate, not only, hey, I would go to Monterey and enjoy all the food and enjoy all the weather and all that kind of stuff and learn from these people that are truly professionals. But I think bringing some of that back to the Midwest and having Midwest farmers talk to Midwest farmers makes a lot of sense, because they are doing a little bit different organic than, you know, salad growers or whatever, lettuce or broccoli or whatever they're growing. And that's where we want to stick to that salad bowl and make sure we're growing and doing the best job we can there, but also expand that. And what's the best way to hook up information and Midwest growers with this type of, with how to step in? What are those rules? You talk about being certified, and, you know, there's just hurdles you have to jump. The growing conventional corn and soybeans, you're not having to jump at those hurdles near as much.
But speaking of like the great topics, I know one of them that I had found was, can organics become a $144 billion market? And that article, I'll of course have linked in the episode description, but it was written by Tim Herden of Western Farm Press. And it talks about that the U.S. organic food market's worth $59 billion in 2023, and it's expected to grow up to 10% through 2032. And that was one of you guys's topics you had there, one of your sessions. Did you get a chance to sit in on that session at all?
I did. And, you know, it again, that's a little bit back to growth needs will come with price parity, and price parity will come with technology. And there's a lot of steps to make that happen, but they're very, very bullish that can indeed happen. And I like that. I mean, why not go there if they become more productive based on technology, it will only grow the market. I think that's one of the biggest takeaways I took from this. And it just made sense to me, because how can something jump that many fold? You look at that, but when you put the whole technology story behind it, you go, I get it. I can see why.
You know, having interviewed several certified organic farmers over the years around here in Nebraska, I know that weeds are kind of the bane of their existence, because they, you know, have a little different toolbox than a conventional farmer, obviously. And some of the earlier research, this is going back maybe 10 years, came from Nebraska and South Dakota State on weed flaming, for instance, on flaming, you know, regular organic row crops, and as a way to get rid of weeds and kind of, you know, describe coming up with a prescription for weed flaming and that kind of thing. And that feeds into that technology side that you say. It seems like when you talk about these individual weeders out in the field, you know, trying to replace some of the labor shortages, that organic in some ways is going to lead us a little bit on certain types of technology, specifically maybe on the weed side, because that is certainly a huge issue that they have to deal with all the time. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Kurt, because a lot of these companies, when we were talking to them last week, they talk about they really want to come to the Midwest. You know, organics is a great place to start, but they would love to get into bigger row crops. There's no question about it. So some of the technology that's used out there, we see them wanting to roll into the Midwest to use in some of these crops. There was one, Sarah, would be up in your neck of the woods, they're looking at sugar beets. They were looking at this weeder that they would use in sugar beets that was really cool. I mean, it could identify a weed, and then it had this little spade thing on it that would go down. It wasn't flaming a weed. It was actually just, it could target it with this, it looked like a hoe is what it looked like right on this thing. You know, you look at some of these other ones, it is flames that come out of it, or I don't know how it does it, but it's fascinating. It knows not to do that to the crop, and it just zaps these weeds. And you look at some of the Midwest farms, some of these farms out there, the vegetables, they might be 100 acres. Think of a 1,000 acre farm or whatever in the Midwest. You really could spread that usage of a machine out even farther, but it's also going to have to be a little bit bigger. I mean, the hoe one I'm talking about, it would be a couple rows at a time. Now, the good news is it can run 24/7. These things can even run at night. They can light up. They can identify stuff. They set them loose and away they go. It's kind of fascinating, but it'd take a lot of time with the two row to do a big, you know, section of land or something like that. It would be going and turn right around and do the same thing. But I really do believe you're right on, Kurt, that these things will be coming to the Midwest. And, you know, what we encourage them is don't come until you're ready, because you don't want to come and never get there. But when they're ready, they should come to a Farm Progress Show or a Husker Harvest Days to get a little bit of input from farmers here in the Midwest. What do they think about this technology? How would it work? We know it would be a media darling. You've both worked these shows, and you know how something that's unique, people flock to it. But media, we also have a lot of media at both of those shows, and they could really help tell that story. So, but key is, don't come and show something that's not going to be ready for 10 years, because that's only going to frustrate someone. But something that is, hey, it's a year or two away and you want a little bit of input from Midwest farmers, no better place to do it than our shows.
I know it's sometimes we talk about how it can be a little tiring being on the new product crew, because you got to hunt for so many new products on those big show grounds. But it's also so cool to see stuff like that. And tying back to that weed piece, you know, it's not just organic farmers who probably use like that integrated weed management approach. But I know, especially with the rise of herbicide resistant weeds here, they're smothering crops, they're using cover crops, they're doing cultivation. And so I think this little shovel hoe thing you were talking about could just fit into some of those with that kind of integrated program that a lot of producers are already using.
Yeah. Hey, technology is driving the world regardless of where you are. So, you know, if they can make it fit a bigger scale farm, or even as they look at this and make it fit there in the salad bowl, it's a great thing. And Hey, that's what we're all about at Farm Progress, right? Is help tell the story of the latest technology and what is going to make a farmer more profitable. Whether you're a farmer in North Dakota or whether you're a farmer in Monterey County, California, our job is to help bring all that technology to them. And I really believe that the Organic Grower Summit, along with our other events and all our media properties, do just that thing.
Yeah, kind of what you're saying, I always say that give a farmer a challenge on the production side and he'll figure out how to make it work somehow, you know, and find a practical way and an efficient and hopefully cost-effective way to make it happen. So that's kind of what we try to talk about every day. Don, we know that you've been with Farm Progress for a little while and that, you know, you have great experiences and have been in that leadership role for a long time. Can you tell us, you know, how did you come to Farm Progress? What was your journey? And, you know, how did that all kind of come about over the years?
Well, it's been a great 28 years here. It's hard to believe that, you know, I was one of those chemical pushers for years. I worked for Dow Chemical right out of college. And, you know, I did that for a dozen years. I was with a startup, you know, kind of a start of you know, the with broadcast partners. So it was the big satellite things that brought weather and markets into your home. We got sold. And but in the interim, I'd worked with Farm Progress in helping to co-promote these systems. And so Chuck Roth, who was the sales manager at the time, you know, we didn't sell so many broadcast partner systems, but you know, he sold me on coming to work for Farm Progress. So it all worked out really, really well. And you know, it's just been a great journey. I mean, to me, being at Farm Progress has been, it's something your parents, I mean, I think my first job out of college going to work for Dow Chemical was pretty darn good. But when you can go to work for Wallace's Farmer or Dakota Farmer or Nebraska Farmer, that means a lot to your parents. That means all of your parents' neighbors, those of us that grew up on farms, they get it. You know, they get what you do. They get, although a lot of my parents' friends always think, mainly I work on the Farm Progress Show. And when that's over, what the heck do I do the rest of the year? But, you know, this is a great company, and it's been a lot of fun. And that's my journey here. 28 years later, I'm retiring, but I'm retiring at a job that I still love and have a lot of passion for. And I would only wish that on anyone. I think that's a great way to have a career.
I know Kurt and I and a couple others that you'll get to hear some little snippets from some of our editorial team wishing you well wishes into retirement and some of their favorite memories from Farm Progress Show and Husker. Those were fun to hear from some of our colleagues. But Kurt and I were talking about how we just remember you being like that smiling face on a golf cart at the farm shows with a radio, and you're like giving tours and like making sure everyone knows where they're going. And I definitely am like, who am I going to look for on a golf cart to wave to? And obviously us in the West group at Husker, we're doing something ridiculous half the time. When I see you driving by, we're like hanging off of a golf cart or like on top of a golf cart getting pictures or something like that. Kurt, do you have any fun memories?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I first met Don when I first got hired at Farm Progress back in 2010. And we've worked together at many farm shows. And one of the things, and throughout the company as well, but one of the things, Don, that I've always appreciated about you is how you've really brought a balanced approach to everyone. And, you know, hard times or good times in ag, which we all know they come and go. And, you know, our Farm Progress, we're linked very closely to agriculture, so we go up and down with them. But you've always had that good attitude, positive attitude, and I think kind of a farmer can do attitude, you know, when it comes to the company, when it comes to our, you know, treasured readers and listeners who we truly care about, those farmers and ranchers out there trying to make a living every day. And I think I've always appreciated your approach in that, keeping them kind of at the center of everything that we do. And so beyond the golf carts at the farm shows, and I know you have a big job keeping everyone, giving them the tours and showing some folks things that maybe they've never seen before, you know, at these farm shows. But certainly the overall thing is keeping our farmer and ranchers at the center of everything that we do. And I sure appreciate the fact that you've done that in all the years that I've known you, I guess.
Well, I appreciate that. The thing I say about farm shows, why I'm so passionate about it is because I'm passionate about the things that you two do every single day. You know, you are introducing farmers to the greatest technology out there. You're also giving a great platform for our advertisers at the same time, the people that entrust their money with us to help tell their story of how they're going to make farmers more money. You know, we have competitors out there. We know that. We're better than our competitors. I'll take that to the grave. But the thing we do that no one else does is bring paper and pixels to life. And I believe that since the very first day I got to Farm Progress is we write about it, we tell them about it. I mean, 28 years ago, we told them about it in print, and that was pretty much it. But then they could come to the farm shows, and they could actually see it and touch it and talk to people, and nobody else can do that. And to this day, no one else does that to the extent that Farm Progress does, how we reach these farmers, we tell them all about it, we have this platform for our exhibitors, and then we bring it all to life. And that's what I really try. When you see me driving around on a golf cart, it's usually agency people more than not that maybe they haven't had that deep dive into what a Farm Progress show can do. They know that we're bringing this out there, but to show them how cool it is to watch this farmer do this, or look at this really, you know, look at them, look at these products and how they are just really asking a lot of questions, or, you know, just even the fun stuff we do at shows. They're a great learning experience, but it's a great day away from the farm, and people love it, and no one else can do that besides Farm Progress. So for me, that's never been hard to do. It's one of my very favorite things to do. And I will miss that part. There's no question about that.
So since you brought it up so perfectly and teed up my next question, what's one of your most fun memories over the years of Farm Progress Show, Husker Harvest Days, Organic Summit, kind of all those trade shows and our farm shows that you visit? I know I heard a couple of getting pelted by some dust at Husker when the roads are not paved. what's your standout memories? Yeah.
Kurt, you're all those years, we always say Nebraskans are a hardy bunch. If you're not leaning into the wind a little bit, it's not windy. You know, that's what we're doing just to stand up. But there's been so many. I mean, it's been a lot of fun. Probably if I had to boil it down, though, I still think back to when George W. Bush came to the Farm Progress Show and the planning that we did for that. It was, we knew Secret Service, where they were, everything about it. The media tent there that was not our media, it was national media because it was an election year, was huge. I mean, it was like one of our VIT tents or whatever, full of media. And it was just one of those experiences. It doesn't matter what party you're after. It's, you know, to have the leader of the free world there and telling a story about agriculture and all the planning that went into that. That's still one of my very, very favorite memories. There's no question about it. I love that. But every year is an adventure. My favorite shows are sunny and dry shows. My least favorite are when it rains or we have inclement weather. And we do you know, my very first one that I was in charge of farm shows was the 50th anniversary, which that first day was also one of my very favorite memories. We had a fledgling performer, Brad Paisley, there that it was just like the best day ever. And we had crowds that were unbelievable. And then we had that front set over the show, and the next 2 days were canceled. So my mood went from super high to maybe, even as I look back on it a little bit, I think I was borderline depressant for a couple of months after that, because it just takes a lot of work and to lose that. But shows are a lot of work, but they're the best thing ever to be able to experience all the latest in ag technology. It's that part I have loved.
I want to go back to something you were talking about before, is how our publications and the shows are linked so closely to each other. And if you go back and look at the history of Farm Progress Show in particular, but also Husker Harvest Days, they were born out of the magazines, out of, you know, the fact that we wanted farmers, our farmer and rancher readers, to be able to experience the advertisers and all the things that we were writing about in these publications. And so that link is, I agree with you, it's just crucial. And it's something that gives us, you know, such an advantage, I think, and also the opportunity to get to talk with farmers and ranchers during those shows, interview them and cover all the news that happens during the shows. And that's what keeps families, generations coming back year after year after year, why it's so important. So I completely agree with you on all of that. I did want to ask you a question about what's next for Don Torti. So what's the plan after you hang up and retire from this particular gig? I have a feeling you probably got some other stuff on your schedule, right?
Lots of stuff. I mean, everything from, you know, taking time for yourself a little bit. It's, you know, I've definitely poured myself into the job. We have some great travel coming up. We have grandkids that live in Texas, which, you know, it's kind of, it won't be the rush back to work or whatever if we go down there to see them. But, you know, someone that from our aviation group, we were just talking, she's retiring at the end of the year. And she said, the great thing is, it's not what you will do, it's what you want to do, what you want to do for yourself. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. I've yet to talk to anyone that, you know, and I'm kind of in that vintage now where a lot of my friends are starting to retire, and they're really enjoying it a lot. I was on someone with our New York Farm Show, their board, here about a month ago, who he had just retired, and said, Don, you're going to love it. Every day is a Saturday. And I'm thinking, you know, those are the kind of things that give me just a lot of, I just don't think I'll be at a shortage for things to do. But if so, hey, I'll come give tours at our farm shows and be busy doing that. But I don't think I'm going to be the biggest cheerleader of all of you on the sideline. That's what I say. I can't wait to continue to watch how Farm Progress blossoms and grows. And no one will be happier than Don.
Well, some of your retirement plans include cheering for your Iowa State Cyclones.
In fact, right after Organic Grower Summit, we went to Texas to watch the Big 12 Championship. You know, it was a lot of fun being in the Dallas Cowboys Stadium and that sort of thing. The game wasn't so good, but absolutely. That is, you know, I don't have a lot of hobbies, but my wife reminds me, we have season tickets to like football. We go to a lot of Iowa State stuff, and that in itself is a hobby, you know, just following that. In fact, we're planning our next few nights. There's basketball, you know, we got to watch this game and this game. The women and men basketball are both doing exceptionally well. Being in a, you know, the Big 12 title game, I have a lot of pride in Iowa State. You know, two of my three kids went there. My wife and I both went there. It's just a lot of fun, and a lot of our friends. So that will absolutely, Sarah, still be a big part of what we do in retirement.
You know, Don, we can't let you go without asking the big question that we always ask pretty much every guest on FP Next. And this is like, you know, above all other things, it's really super important. And that is, you know, where's your favorite place to get a burger?
I thought maybe you were going to ask about like my favorite food at the Organic Grower Summit in Monterey, which there's great places out there with seafood, et cetera. But here in Des Moines, living in Des Moines, anywhere in the Midwest, you're going to have a lot of really good burgers, right? I mean, there's no question. If I were going to go for one here in Des Moines, I would probably go to one of the craft brew places, either Lua or Big Grove. They have great burgers. They're the smash burgers. You know, they're kind of a little bit crispy just a smidge because they're smashing them. And then you kind of always have a great craft brew with it. So I think that helps. But those would be my favorite places here in Des Moines, either of those, to go get a burger. You guys come to town, we'll go out and have a burger.
Sounds like a perfect plan.
Yeah, I think we're going to have our art director, Shelley, is working on a map that a food tour map for Sarah and I of all the places that have been suggested over the past year on this podcast. And we've got some pretty cool places. So we'll just add those stops to our map, I think. Hey, Don, I
share your map. I would love
to. Yeah, we will. We're going to write an article about it. And we'll have that map in it. So that'll be one of the ways we're going to end out our year, I believe. So yes, definitely. We want to thank you for joining us today on FP Next. We've really appreciated your time with us, and your time with Farm Progress, but also your time spent with us today to kind of talk a little bit about the Organic Growers Summit, but also to reminisce a little bit about the farm shows and your long and industrious career with Farm Progress. And I think from Sarah and I just want to say thank you for everything you've done for us. That's the bottom line really from us.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, the thing I would say is, could everyone be so fortunate to work with great people? I mean, like you two. And that's the thing I love about Farm Progress more than anything else is the people. You know, if you don't love the people you got to work with, you should find another job. That's what I always say. And every day is a good day. I mean, we all have our days. As one of you started this off, I mean, not every day in agriculture is great, right? But at least if you're surrounded by people that believe in each other, believe in what they're doing, and want to take things to the next level, hey, it doesn't get any better than that. And that's why I've loved working here. And, you know, great things are going to continue to happen because of that at Farm Progress.
Absolutely. Well, Don, thank you again. And we'll have to see you for a burger. Des Moines is way closer than some of our food options that we've seen on our food tour. So exactly. We'll have to come by.
Do it. I would love it.
So, and Don, I have to tell you, and this is going to be where post-editing me does it, but I'm going to cut in those memories from our colleagues. So you have to make sure you listen to this episode. I know you always tell me to listen to the episodes, but special reminder, this one's for you. So we're excited to have some of our colleagues come on and share. And thank you again for the great conversation. I know we'll miss seeing you at farm shows, but the farm shows will go on and we'll send you lots of pictures, I'm sure, and you'll see all the content. Maybe you'll just get bored enough to come by and zip around on another golf cart, right?
I'll come check you all out. No question about that. As I said, I'm your number one cheerleader from this point. I can't wait to watch it.
When I think about Don, we always say at Farm Progress, we're a family. And I think Don embodies that. Like you said, I did not start at Farm Progress. I've been at other publications, but when I met Don, he was always there to greet me with a smile. I giggled because I think over the years I thought of him, if we had to give him an emoji, it would be that smile, like the really big smile with the hands on the side of each other, because that was who he was and that's how he greeted people. Sarah, you know, I have kids, and I'm sure your mama did this too, but mine are far away. And so when they'd come home, I'd greet them at the airport, you know, running, excited, really happy. I'm going to tell you, when I walked into Husker Harvest Day's office, every year Don seems to greet me with that type of enthusiasm. And it's like he's always saying, you know, welcome home. I'm so glad to see you. And he treats everybody that way. It's not just me. So I think he's just one of those people who makes you feel comfortable. And though this is your home, this is where you belong, you're a part of our family. And I giggle because he keeps that smile on all day long. Prior to you, when the streets were not paved at Husker Harvest Days and it was very dusty and windy, I remember one time walking along that western edge and I was spent that day. I was beaten. I was exfoliated. I was dirty. I was tired and just windblown. And up toodles Don on the golf cart, smiling at me. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to try to be nice. And so I did. And he's like, how's it going? You know, what do you think? How are the, you know, exhibitors? How are the visitors? Have you got to meet anybody interesting? And he kept smiling. And by the time the conversation ended, I was like, you know, this is really a great show. This is really a great time. I've really had a good day and I should really have a smile on my face. So, I think when I think of Don and what I'm going to remember him most is for including me in the family, always being so happy to see me and everyone, that even whether it's visitors or even our vendors, he's the guy they're just going to smile and welcome in. So Don, if I call you or text you, or hey, you could just do it anonymously. You could just send me one at the beginning of Husker Harvest Days or maybe throughout the week. Just a smiley face would be great, because that is how I'll remember you. And that's maybe the only way I'm going to make it through. So I hope you enjoy your time. We've enjoyed having you. I thank you so much for welcoming us all as part of your Farm Progress family. And I hope you get to spend time with yours. Have a great one.
So I started working with Don Torti at Farm Progress when I started here almost 27 years ago. And that seems like a crazy amount of time, but Don's just, he's been a stalwart member of the Farm Progress team for all those years. When I think of Don Torti and his time at Farm Progress, I think of Don Torti at the Farm Progress show. And it's usually with a mic, you know, radio, talking in it, you know, answering questions on a golf cart, taking people around, showing them, you know, what needs to be done, but essentially being that original champion of the Farm Progress show, you know, always excited, always eager to be there, always eager to show people, you know, how great the show is, what they can find, what they can learn, and essentially make it a better experience for farmers. When I think of Don Torti, I think I especially think of him as this steady, reassuring voice of authority, you know, and that's within the company. He is somebody who knows farmers, you know, because he grew up in this world. He knows agriculture. He loves it. And he has a deep understanding of what a farmer's going through and what they need. And I think he translates that, you know, then to his customers and the folks he works with on the advertising side. And I think of Don just especially like throughout the whole company as just being this relentless encourager. You know, whenever I see him, he is the first one to tell me what a great job I'm doing. You know, whatever story, you know, you might have seen recently that he enjoyed. And I just think often, I think it's Brené Brown that talks about, you know, surrounding yourself with people who are candle lighters, not candle blower outers. And Don Torti is sort of that original candle lighter. Like he is just there to build up everybody around him and make them better. And I think we've all been the better for it. I really hope in Don's next season here of retirement that he can just really embrace a little bit of a slower pace. I hope that works out for him and just enjoy the season that he's going to be in, because, you know, we think about seasons in agriculture, and I think, you know, our work season is one and retirement is another, and there's a lot of life to be enjoyed there. And I really hope Don, that you just really, make the most of that time and enjoy that time with your family, because you've earned it.
So I've known Don since he started back in 2006, and I stepped away from Farm Progress for a little bit, and he lured me back in 2001. So I've worked for Don since 2001. He hired me on as a sales rep, and then quickly transitioned into the show position. And those first years of being the events director working under Don, there was a lot of change. We went through the rain out of the 2003 50th anniversary Farm Progress show, and then quickly pivoted and went to work on finding permanent sites, rode all over Illinois and Iowa and parts of Indiana in his wood paneled minivan, evaluating all the different sites. And so there's great memories there. And then, you know, the evolution of the Farm Progress show during his tenure with the permanent sites and the changing of the dates from the end of September to the end of August have really propelled the event to what it is today. And I think he and I would both say that's kind of a highlight of our careers. And it's been wonderful working for him. You know, one thing that I'll always have on Don is when George W. Bush visited in 2004, we sat down around a great big table in Jack Holland and Steve Holland's farm shop, sent my business card out to everybody. I passed my business card out to everybody at the table, and everybody then handed me back business cards. So I've got something Don doesn't have, which is a really cool stack of business cards, you know, from Secret Service and from the president's chef and from all these different crazy business descriptions that you would have, job descriptions that you would have. And so I still give him a hard time about that. But, you know, going through those things together, whether it's changing the dates or show rainouts like 2014 or presidential visits to the event, it's been a wonderful partnership. And You know, I said this earlier in a different interview talking about Don, but, you know, a farmer's mission is to leave the farm in better condition than the way you found it. And Don has taken that farmer attitude towards Farm Progress and leave Farm Progress in a better position than you found it. And he's put a career into putting Farm Progress into the position that they are, not just the show, but the whole brand and the company and every brand under that umbrella. And so, you know, it's been a genuine pleasure to watch the event evolve, watch the company evolve. The team members are what make the company. And we just have this wonderful accumulation of talent under the Farm Progress brand that I think all of us should be proud of. And there should be some thanks associated with that should go to Don. And so, you know, it's been a great pleasure, and I'm glad that he is, you know, walking off into the sunset, and I hope he enjoys retirement with kids and grandkids and travel and everything that he well deserves. So a big thanks to Don for everything that he's done for me personally as well. He's been, you know, you don't work for somebody that long without having, you know, a friendship in addition to the work stuff. And so he's been a mentor and a great ally through a whole lot of battles, and we will all certainly miss him going forward. Don's job at the Farm Progress Show is to give people tours, people from ad agencies or companies that want to exhibit. And it's always fun at the end of the day to hear the tales that he tells of stories of people who don't know anything about agriculture or anything about farming, about giving them tours around the ground. So I going around the grounds and intersecting with Don when he's in the middle of a tour is always a lot of fun, because he has a lot of wide-eyed people that he's giving a tour. And every show I have to give him the pre-tour of what he needs to go see and make sure to point out and the high points and all that kind of stuff. And that usually evolves into a pretty long discussion. And those are some of our best talks, because it's at the height of the excitement and the energy around the events. And I will absolutely miss those tours.
Well, thanks again, Don. And to our listeners, we want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of FP Next, allowing us into your tractor cab, your truck, on your farm, and in your shop and in your fields. A special thank you goes out to our digital production and marketing team members who put in a lot of work with us. And if you want to be sure not to miss any top stories, sign up for our Farm Progress text blasts, which bring the hot stories right to your inbox.
You can sign up for those text alerts by texting FARM, F-A-R-M, to 20505. Be sure to follow Farm Progress on social media to stay up to date with ag news and more, and check out the digital edition of your regional publication at farmprogress.com. Be sure to tune into our next episode of FP Next for a special recap about what happened in the world of agriculture in 2024 and some of our favorites and your favorite episodes from the past year of FP Next.
We'll give a little behind the scenes talk about each of the episodes and maybe pick our favorites. But the real fun will be looking forward to season two, which starts in January. And we've got a pretty good lineup of some guests coming for 2025. So that should be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And you can follow along with FP Next by listening and subscribing on your favorite podcast platform or YouTube or Farm Progress Online. And be sure to leave us a review if you enjoy the show.
Sarah always says 5 stars or nothing.
Absolutely. And if it's agriculture, your friends at Farm Progress have you covered. Here's wishing you high yields and good weather. We'll see you next time.